And one of the things in terms of negotiation that you do is you don't want to play your hand because for whatever reason, you don't want the other person to have an opportunity to take advantage of you. So you hold things back so that you can possibly get the best complimentary deal possible, right? Well, this is not a place to be to negotiate. This is a place where I want to just be open, honest, play my full hand for you guys in terms of some of the thoughts that I had and things that we've been thinking about. In terms of direction, where we go from here, I don't have an idea. Maybe Jeff has some ideas, but I don't really have an idea where we go from here because, you know, we just got to really process some stuff. So, but to get back from the very beginning, to go back to the very beginning, one of the things that we said we wanted to do is, and this was said in a couple of different ways, is that we wanted to take maybe a journalistic approach to this in terms of, you know, do a little bit of research and then present the information non-biasedly. No CNN, no Fox stuff, right? Just be non-biased in how we present the information. And so, and then what we really want to come out of that was an opportunity to have some dialogue. Right, some good dialogue that we can begin to talk about, you know, where we are as a congregation in terms of, you know, instrumental music versus a cappella. You know, what does that mean for us, for me as a person? You know, is this something that I consider very essential in terms of my worshiping, or is it something that I look at as a preference, but it's a high preference? And so when we went through that, what did we do? So this is kind of just my response to that. Liker has a scale, is that did we accomplish what we wanted to accomplish, right? And Liker scale basically, you know, do I agree with the things that we set out to accomplish? Or do, you know, how much agreement do I have with those things? And so in terms of did we do the research, I say we did pretty good there. But in terms of were we really non-biased in how we presented the information, I don't know. I mean, I think there may have been some in terms of because, and I say that, I know it's a dangerous area to say that, but I say that because collectively I believe the elders believe there are some freedoms, right, that we have in terms of instrumental music or a cappella. And so so I'm not sure. In terms of the dialogue, I think we did really well in terms of generating some dialogue, and it came from you guys. Some of the feedback we got both in class and out of class, and so I think that went really well. The biggest challenge is kind of this whole diversity of ideals that we have, right? So when you think about our congregation, even our beginning has a lot to do with where we are. How we got together as a congregation has something to do with the diversity that's part of this group, right? So if you talk with different people in the body, what you hear about in terms of instrumental music or a cappella, those who have a strong preference for a cappella may say something like, instrumental music might be okay, but it's a little distracting for me. You know, is that I don't feel like I can get fully engaged in the worship because of the instrumental music is a little distracting for me. Then those who really have a preference for instrumental music, they'll say, a cappella is fine, but the instrumental music stirs an emotion for me that a cappella does not, right? And then we even have those in the body say, you know what, I'm very uncomfortable with instrumental music. Because it's the uncertainty of going in a place where I just don't have the confidence to go. And so I don't necessarily feel like I should go there. As a matter of fact, 300 years of church tradition said we shouldn't go there. And so that uncertainty is a part of it. And then we have some that says, well, if it's a preference, why can't we do both in the same worship? You know, why can't we have, you know, instruments and a cappella in the same worship and worship together. So you got all of that diversity going on, and that is the challenge moving forward. Jeff?
Yeah, so I was sharing with Steve when We lived in Mary and I and our boys lived in Illinois. They were born there before we moved to Missouri, and we had the church we attended. There was a Bible class and then worship time on Sunday morning, and then there was a Sunday night worship time, attended by about half the people who came on Sunday morning, and then there was Bible class on Wednesday night, and I was the one who, it was a smaller church, and so I was the one who led singing almost every Sunday. So they were stuck with me, like it or not. And but I got to pick out whichever songs we wanted to sing, so that was good. But so Sunday night rolled around, and you know, it was about half the people. So I'll put this in context. Let's say there was 160 people at the church, 180 people at the church. So on Sunday nights, there was 75 to 80 people. And loved each other. I learned a ton from all the people, like the classes I went to. But Sunday night came, and Marion was with the boys at ages 2 and 5. I don't know why, but there wasn't carpet in the auditorium. And there were no cushions on the seats either. So, a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, Marion arm wrestled and wrestled with them every Sunday night. And the whole church knew that she was wrestling with them every Sunday night. But we went because the doors were open, which is what my grandfather taught my dad, which is what my dad taught me. And we, every Sunday night after church, then our good friends, we didn't have a small group ministry, but we, our good friends, we went out, maybe went to one of their houses, and we talked about what went on the week, or we played cards with them, or we went out to dinner with them, or there was a time we would go to my parents' house, who lived close, and we'd play cards, and the boys loved it. And so that was our Sunday night experience. And we moved to St. Louis, started going to the Mid-County Church, who had a strong small group ministry, and our small group was not on Sunday night, so we didn't go on Sunday night. So the first 3 or 4 weeks, we were like, what's Grandpa Earnhardt going to think? We're not going to church on Sunday night. And we went to small group on Wednesdays. And so we also didn't talk about Christmas on Christmas. And we didn't talk about Advent. And I didn't even know what Lent was till I was in high school. Because it was just, those were just things we didn't talk about. Because that's what the Catholic Church talked about. And that's what happened. And I thought it was kind of odd. And all of my friends in school thought it was kind of odd, but that's just the way we did things. And we have since, and that was 25 years ago. And so we have since learned and really love Advent. I mean, not everybody does, but it really prepares you for Christmas. And Christmas is a special time, not because of Santa, but because of Jesus. And the entire when I finally realized the people I worked with were most receptive to talking about God during Lent and during Christmas. And so my friends were at work who were not necessarily Christians, but they understood the concept of Lent. They all ranted and raved how they would have to go 5 weeks, 8 weeks without chocolate. So they were, but I said, well, you know, isn't that a good thing? We're giving something up. And so we could have a conversation about that. And Christmas was certainly a time where less about Santa, more about Jesus. And so just that's how I grew up. And so, but the first couple of weeks not going to church on Sunday night was a, wow, that's kind of, I didn't know what to think. And I say that to say that is where we sometimes change is uncomfortable for us. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I want to reinforce, I've taught maybe almost half of these sessions, a couple things I thinking back and reflecting with Jeff Kreider and I this past week is in no way, we've spent more time outside the Bible than we have inside the Bible in this class. Just looking back at the time we've spent, and less time has been spent in the scripture and more time has been spent about history and other things. That is not in any way an attempt to downgrade the value of the Bible. Not at all. I personally do not take a lower view of the Bible. I've just taken maybe a little bit different view of the Bible. And some historical research has given me that, has allowed me to do that. And so I think all of us here believe the Bible is inspired. It is the Word of God. But the Spirit also tells us things. And we've got to, so I have an incredibly high view of the Bible. I just personally just think I've learned in the last 25 years that some things I thought were in the Bible really weren't in the Bible, or they were, maybe there's other ways to think about them. One of the things I'd like to stress, hopefully we've been able to convey, that our worship is really not about me. And we all have very strong feelings about a lot of things. There are things Marion cares deeply about which I could care less about. And one of those was watering the flowers, and she's been out of town for 2 weeks. I'm going to pay the price for that when she gets back, because it dawned on me this morning. But worship is really not about me. It's not, and it's not about us. It's about God. And, you know, if we entered our marriage with it's all about me and my preferences and my likes, and if we entered our relationships with our friends that it's all about me and my preferences and what I like and don't like, I'm not sure those relationships would be very strong. And I guess the last thing I would say, just kind of as an intro, is that change is hard. We probably should have had this. Steve and I were talking about this, and was talking to someone else about this. We probably should have had this sort of class setting years ago, not in September. We probably should have had it in June of 2014. Or June of 2012. So should have had this conversation earlier, but we really didn't. So that's just a little bit of an intro. Two things, there's no way we can cover all this in the time allotted, but two things I want to share with you. I try to follow up with an email each week, and I want to send you a couple of links which are going to be, I'm going to ask you to just think about. One is a website that Bernie has shared, and on the 18th of October, it's a Crosswalk Daily Update. Now, I'll share this with you. 10 Steps to Interpreting Scripture by Jennifer Slattery. I don't know, but it really is a good way of thinking about, you know, how do we think about Scripture? And I want to share that with you. And it was good for me. Bernie sent it to me, and I thought that's really good. But it's going to take. Again, it's going to take some investment on our part, because as a leadership, we can't do all the thinking for the church. Mm. We don't want to do all the thinking for the church, and we do want you to be engaged in that. And then the other, just like I don't want my grandfather to do all the thinking for me, I love my grandpa. He died way too early. I didn't know him that. I knew more of him after he died than during his life, but I'm just really impressed with who he was. But he can't do all my thinking for me. And so the other thing is the Otter Creek Church of Christ in big Nashville suburb, Randy Gill, who was a music major at one of the Christian, I think, Harding University, taught in the schools. He did a four-week Bible class on, the name of the class was A Guitar Player's Life in the Church of Christ. And it was a really good series. Steve Hopped has recommended it to several of us. And it's about 3 hours. It's four classes that are all right at 45 minutes. So it's a three-hour investment. But I would encourage you to, and I'll send a link with both of these. I'd encourage you to listen to that because it was really good. Because from Randy's perspective, mm-hmm. he grew up like most of us traditional Church of Christ people. He interjects a little humor into it about he sang at weddings, and every church had a different way you could have music in the wedding. Some were okay with it. Some, you know, if you had it in the fellowship hall, you could have you could listen to, Olivia Newton-John or something. You know, it was just an interesting concept. But I would encourage you to do that. A couple other comments, and then I would like to get your feedback. Steve and I would love to hear what you have to think and what you have to say. And if you got questions, we may or may not agree on the answer, and we may not even give you an answer, but we'll take it down and note that. In my personal studies, just not only just in the last few weeks, but in the last several years, I think that if the Lord cared immensely about something, then it was in the Bible many times. How many times in 1 John do we hear love each other, love one another? How many times does Jesus say, just bring up love? How many times does Paul say that? The whole book of 1 Corinthians is about it, that chapter. And so when it's burning in God's heart that he wants us to know, he tells us often, and many people tell us that in the scripture. And so because there's just not a lot of, in the New Testament, there's just not a lot about music, that would sort of lead me to believe that it's not as important to God, maybe it is in our heritage. And that if it was, it would be much more clear than what it is. Because God's not a God of confusion. He doesn't want us to be fearful and confused. And so loving one another, I don't know. I was going to ask Jeff this question because he preached a sermon several years ago. How many times is one another in the Bible? I mean, the New Testament, it's hundreds, right? One another. And that's important. And so how Kim thinks about something is important and to me, and I think what I think is important to her, because we're one another. But I just don't think that the Lord really cared a lot about an instrument or not an instrument. Because so if he would have been more clear on that. So, Steve?
The one another. So I guess I wanted to maybe talk a little bit more about the challenges that we have moving forward. And the one another is a good example. So just think about this for a second. So if the elders have a certain perspective, a certain ideal of what we think about instrumental music, we've heard, well, why don't you guys move forward on that, right? Because of the one another command, right? We just cannot, I mean, there are certain things that we cannot do necessarily now because where a brother or sister might be in their faith walk. So that's following the one another command. The other challenge is that because of all the diversity we have in our congregation, what do we do when we have a combined service? What is that going to look like, right? So, you know, we just identified four different type of thought process that we have right here. Maybe there's even more. So when we have a compliance, we actually have people that say, make sure I know when we have one particular type of service so I won't be here. So, you know, that's challenging. The other thing is we still have some us and them mentality that we dealt with. You know, so there's a lot of peripheral things that are going on besides just the instrumental music that relates to the instrumental music. And it makes it very difficult to be very definitive on what you're going to do because of the one another and because of a lot of other things we just mentioned. So, and then it's also important how you begin a certain thing. So how we got to this point in terms of us as two bodies. Think about this. Day one, we met in separate places, you know. We met in separate places, day one. And so, but we had one eldership. So things on the periphery will also impact how we move forward. But we want to lay that out there so you guys know those are challenges, and that it's not that we're not considering the one another command. It's just we're just trying to do the best we can with what we have to work with. That's a great point, and hopefully I didn't communicate fear, but there's this whole process of bringing one another along, right? And so reluctance to do something is not necessarily fear, it may be where we are as a body. And so we gotta bring one another along until we can come to a place where we feel comfortable that we can do one thing or the other.
Right or wrong, I think, Kaz, you must not have been here that day because I caught a lot of grief for using my grocery store example in class, where I don't think that God makes things unclear or undecisive because he wants us to be afraid that he's gonna, now's my opportunity to zap Jeff because he did something that I didn't like. And so I don't think that fear, I agree, fear should not be our motivator with how we look at God and how we worship, any more than fear should be a motivation. But human nature gives us that. Oh, hang on,
hey,
just
guys.
One. Okay, so just hang on that thought, Becky and Betty, just a second. So the other thing I did want to provide some. If I've drawn a conclusion in my mind, and I speak sort of for the leadership, but maybe more for myself, and you'll criticize me for doing that as well. But I think as a leadership, we would be poor leaders if all of a sudden, starting November 1st, we said, we want, and I'm gonna use Steve because he's a good brother, we want Steve to bring his keyboard in the auditorium because we think it's okay. That's not leadership. That's blindness. Because we just don't, that's not, first of all, I would hate that we would be not have an option for a cappella music. I just hate that. And that's not in the plans. That is not, you know, whether it was Steve and I were whether it was, you know, whatever our motivation was, when we first started meeting as one church, mm-hmm. we said we're going to have an a cappella, more traditional mm-hmm. worship assembly, in a more contemporary instrumental assembly. I still believe that's a good thing. Maybe our reasons for doing that are a little bit different now than what they were, but I still think that's a good thing. And I don't, we'd be crazy to change that. So don't think that next Sunday there's going to be a guitar playing in the auditorium. That is not going to happen. However, I believe we should have the freedom that when we worship together, if you love instrumental music and it's not about you, then if we have an a cappella service, you should be 110% engaged in that, because why? It isn't about you.
Right.
And likewise, if you have grown up with a cappella music for 47 years or 69 years, mm-hmm. and I don't know where the Bible says it's wrong, then if we choose to sing an instrumental song because it meets the theme of the day, it's an incredible song, it ministers to half the church, and we have a combined service, I would hope that you don't take the position that I don't like that, so I'm not going to come, because it's not about me. And so I hope we have the freedom, and I hope we've allowed you to have the freedom to say, if I have brothers and sisters who love that style of worship, mm-hmm. and if I love them, I'm gonna try it out. And that's okay. Versus, I'm out of here. You know, the elders said it was okay to have instrumental music, and because we still have a cappella, they can't get it, so I'm gone. I'm just not going to do it. I don't think God appreciates that attitude. And so I hope we've demonstrated to you that you have freedom to do it different ways, and that it isn't about you. It's about Him. So,
Jim.
Now, Betty and then Becky.
Jim. Can we be sure we have the microphone? To whoever's speaking.
Okay, Betty and then Becky. No, you were raising your hand. Okay.
I have three thoughts. The first one was when you were talking about the timing of this class. Should have been earlier, maybe 2012. I push back a little bit. I think we have needed to be on our faith journey to this point. And that in 2012 it would have been just useless. I think this is probably the right time and the right place as appointed by the Holy Spirit. Okay. The second thing, and I think this is kind of what you're saying, and Kaz, with the fear factor, is each individual's concept of sin. You know, do you view sin as each little individual act that you do that may be wrong in the sight of God? And certainly that's part of it. But to me, the sin is whether or not you're trying to follow Christ mm-hmm. and you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. And in that case, then we're covered by His blood and we have the freedom. So some people who can't go one way or the other may be viewing it as a salvation issue mm-hmm. based on how they're viewing sin and God, you know, whether He's a gotcha God or He has allowed us to be covered with the blood of Christ. And the third thing is the way some people view the building and the auditorium and a special sanctity of this auditorium, that somehow this is a more sacred place maybe than the gymnasium. Hmm. So we can't bring instruments in. So So I think those are some views that maybe could be explored.
Randy Gill, in his Otter Creek classes, okay, got you, Gwen. He shared almost a humorous, again, I was talking about the weddings and what they were able to do. And so it was humorous when he described all the different weddings that he sang for. And he played, again, he was a guitar player. And so, you know, and most, a lot of people, at least I know, in the 70s and the 80s, you know, that there were certain, like I used Olivia Newton-John, Captain and Tennille, there were some of those people, I'll age myself here, but their songs were really used a lot in weddings. And so they weren't written to be necessarily four-part harmony, so it would be interesting to hear, if you would listen to Randy Gill's version of all the different boxes they had to check if they were going to have a guitar during a wedding, but it would be the same thing. The fellowship hall was okay, the sanctuary wasn't, that kind of concept. Gwen had a comment. Okay, we need your, with your soft, sweet voice, we need a microphone there, Gwen.
Perspective, because I grew up in McKnight Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. This is where I started my journey. I was baptized here, and what I missed most when I went to McCounty were the people that I left here. Mm-hmm. The people who helped me to have a great marriage. The people are, it's a salvation issue. It's the salvation issue means that if we love people, I can sit here all day and be happy in here and listen to the a cappella music. I can sit here and I can enjoy it, and I can enjoy the people in this room, and I love them. And I can go to the gym and have the same love in the gym. But it's a salvation issue for us. It really is. Are we going to allow this to break us into pieces over whether we can have instruments or not? Mm-hmm. It's a salvation issue. Do we really love each other enough to accept each other? The world is looking at us today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we need to think about that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suzanne?
Appreciate people waiting on the mic, and here's why, because people listen to this afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's posted, and there's a lot of blank, dead air, and so we want to hear everybody's comments.
Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly how this fits in with everything, but it's kind of, I'm sharing with you where I'm at in my faith journey.
Okay.
And recently I reread Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which is a very, I'll say, a deep book. And when I got to the end of it, I was amazed that he wrote that entire book without a single scripture reference. He took what he knew of scripture and just kind of globalized it, and it's a fantastic book. It's one of my favorite books. And as I take all the years where I used the Bible as almost a barrier between me and others, it's taken me years to realize for me that the Bible itself is a means to a relationship with God and with one another. And lately I've been reflecting on the Lord's Prayer. If I want to get back to the basics, and what I'm hearing is Jesus telling us to be thankful for this world that we have, that he gave us, the daily supplies he gives us, and then if there's anything separating me from a brother or a sister, so there's the relationship, ask forgiveness. And in the same way, if there's anything separating me from God, to ask forgiveness. So when I look at Jesus's boiled down to a nutshell or whatever, it's about a relationship. A relationship with each other and a relationship with him. And that's, as I'm walking, that's what I'm seeing as what God wants for me.
Bernie, just hand the mic back there to Bernie.
I'll go back to one of the comments I made last summer. I think our combined worship where we're together in the auditorium rocks. Mm-hmm. With our praise team and our sermons, we connect. And I agree with Suzanne 100%. It's all about relationships. It's relationships we have with the auditorium and where we are in the gym as well that I don't think we're building. I think we need to work on those relationships. Mm-hmm. And in our group, we have several families that have left McKnight, Mid-County, and have gone to other churches and for a variety of reasons. And one of the things they go to these other churches where they're going to instrumental churches, whether they like it or not. Neither one of them really likes instrumental music. But there's something that draws them there, the biblical sermons, the relationships, the ability to have a tight bond, and that's important. Mm-hmm. They still stay in our group, and so they share. We're studying some of their literature and some of their ideas and all of that just to find out what's happening. And what we see with millennials is that they are interested in relationships. Mm-hmm. We live in an empty world that needs to be filled with Christ and love and building lives together. We have visited where our daughter goes. And I'll have to say this, the instrumental music was terrible. I mean, it was, you know, it just, they didn't, you know, it was so loud, people didn't sing. You know, it was just, to me, it just grated on my nerves. But the message was awesome. And the relationships of people in small core groups was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's where we've got to be. I look around. I get so depressed some Sunday mornings when I look at an empty congregation. I look at empty pews. I said, what are we missing? Are we focusing on the wrong thing? What can we do to build up both our a cappella service and our instrumental service? It's awesome to have those options. I don't know of anybody else in the St. Louis area that has that. We've got an opportunity. We got to build these relationships. We got to focus on one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, we may not agree, but if we love each other, we can get a lot done. So as you think about where we are, we're losing people. Can we gain people? And we are. But how can we really grow this church into a dynamic entity in the St. Louis area? And I think, as Suzanne and others have pointed out, let's build that one another, the love relationships, really get involved with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be known, to your point, Bernie, then we'll be known as a church that loves, that is diverse, despite we're united, despite our lack of uniformity. We'll be known as a church that cares. We'll be known as a church that reaches out, that will be known more for our food pantry, and will be known more for our teen program, and will be known more for those kind of ministries than, oh, that's a church that doesn't have a piano. Mm-hmm. Or they've got a piano one place and not a piano another. What's up with that? Mm-hmm. And so wouldn't you love to be a place that's known for something versus known they're against something? Mm-hmm. And that's really I think that's what we're all trying to say is, how do we become the church that is known because of our love? How will they know you're Christians? What did Jesus say? Because you love one another. That's how they'll know, the world will know that we're Christians. Not because, I went to a Church of Christ once and that was weird, they didn't have an organ. Stephen Hoff's made that, you know, given his background, he's made that comment. I've picked on Steve all the time, we're in here. But wouldn't it be great that we're known not for what we're against, but what we're for? And we're for love, and we're for caring, and we're for serving, and we're all about God, and we're all about Jesus and what that means. We value the Bible, and it's a tool to get us to be the people that God wants us to be.
Jeff, I think we are all those things, but for some reason or another, we lose our way from time to time. You know, those things you just described. When I think about us as a body, I see each and every one of those qualities in us as a body. But things like this that separate us hinder our ability to develop those deep, lasting, meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that really challenges us is trust sometimes, right? You know, and intentions. And so we have heard that maybe that there's some lack of trust in terms of the intentions of leadership and elders. And so that doesn't help building relationships as well. You know, when you have that kind of, when you have those kind of things going on in the body. So the things that Jeff described, I think we are those things. But unfortunately, we lose our way from time to time, you know, in things like this. Like, okay, instrumental music, you know, I'm not coming to church today, combined worship, because you're going to have instruments, or you're going to do instrumental music in the worship service, so I won't be there today. Those kind of things hinder our ability to be one body in Christ.
I want to lead us in a prayer, and I do, from a leadership perspective, we love you guys, we do, and every one of you, regardless of what your view is on whatever. You gotta believe that. I want you to want all the church to know that we care for you, we pray for you, and we really do want to be the church that Jesus died for. That may or may not look like the Church of Christ I attended when I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But that's okay with me. Mm-hmm. So let's pray, and then continue to keep this in prayer, and as Bernie and Suzanne and others and Gwen said, well, if we can love one another, man, we can make a huge, that's how the first century church, we want to go back to how they did in the first century, let's go back to that quality, mm-hmm. where there was never a need, but they loved each other. Let's pray together. Lord, you are an incredible God. We love you. And we want to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength. And we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. Give us hearts that do that. Give us a dose of your spirit as we live our lives, as we make decisions, as we think about the things we like and don't like and prefer and don't prefer. Father, I pray for this church that we can be a body that is known for our love and our care and our service in our worship, and just the way we make a difference in this community, in the lives of people. Thank you for all this, everyone who's here this morning. Thank you for all this entire church, Lord. We all need each other, and I pray, Lord, that you just give us a clear sense of what that means. We want to be a church that loves you and loves each other, and show us what that means. I pray for the leadership here that can be forefront in our mind. Forgive us when we're not that kind of a leadership, Lord, but continue to give us wisdom like we is well beyond what we can do ourselves. Thank you for our study these last several weeks. Thank you for today. I pray, Lord, you give us a great week together as we serve and make a difference. And I pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Thanks, everybody.